Welcome to the podcast Sounding Off with Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. That's where we roll these podcasts out, and then you can find them on the website as well. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well, and we'd appreciate it if you'd go over to Facebook and give us a like. Today, I am having a conversation with Greg Lopez. Greg Lopez is a former mayor of Parker, Colorado. Worked in the Small Business Administration, is a candidate for governor. That election is going to be in 2022. Greg Lopez, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I actually, kind of the first time I really noticed you, if you will, I was a delegate to the state assembly or that is, and you gave a rousing speech because at that time you were running for governor as well, correct?
I was, yes.
And I remember, I mean, people were on the edge of their seats. It was such an inspiring speech. And I ran into a woman that I know, and she said, I may have to change my vote after hearing that. So introduce yourself. You know, tell us a bit more about you.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm a veteran, and I served in the military. And to your point, you know, I'm a former mayor of Parker, Colorado. I was the youngest mayor elected in the state at the time. I was 27.
Wow.
And it was a strong mayor form of government. So I was the mayor and the city manager, which meant—
At the age of 27.
At the age of 27.
Well.
And so all the department heads reported directly to me. And so I understand all the issues that are going out there. You know, I'm the former president of the Denver Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
And as you mentioned, I'm the former director of the United States Small Business Administration here in Colorado. And so I truly understand, you know, the importance of small business as it pertains to a community. You know, I'm a husband. I'm a father. You know, we've been here 32 years here in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a native, but, you know, I hope—
You got here as fast as you could.
That's right. You know, and I hope at some point, you know, people say, you've been here long enough. But I've seen Colorado change. You know, and when I was running, I tried to encourage people to remember that we do not want Colorado to become California. And if we didn't elect the right individual from the right party, and I am a Republican— You know, to say, you know what, we're going to turn Colorado into California, and sure enough, it's happening. You know, and I, as you know, I was not the nominee, but I watched and supported Walker, and then when we lost to Governor Polis, I watched the first legislative session, and I saw the legislation that came out of there, the sex education bill, the natural popular vote, you know, his attack on oil and gas. I mean, I really feel he's attacking families.
Yes.
He's attacking parental rights. He's attacking every essence of our communities when it comes to small business. You know, shutting down. And now he's determined that he knows what last call should be at 10 o'clock. You know.
For bars and restaurants.
Right, exactly. You know, I say, you know what? I'm going to jump back into the race because my values have not changed. And we need to get Colorado back. And so I am actively campaigning. I am an official candidate. This is not, I'm thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
I filed my paperwork last August, you know, so I'm—
Hey, okay. Yes, so a year ago.
Yeah.
Almost a year ago.
So I am traveling the state. I'm talking to people, and I really believe that there's the majority of Coloradans do not like what's happening in this state, and they're just looking for a true leader to step forward.
Well, and we are at a time for choosing Greg Lopez. And so you declared last year, so you're what, 3 years before the election. But that, I think that's important to be out there to show leadership in what is happening. Of course, when you declared, that was a totally different world in Colorado than where we are right now. And first of all, thank you for stepping forward because it's not only the candidate, but it's also your wife and your family. And when Reagan back in 64, I just watched a speech said we're at a time for choosing. We are at a time for choosing.
We definitely are.
And something happened down at the Colorado Capitol this last Sunday. There was a rally, Back the Blue. It's one that has, I think it's occurred for 6 years. Yes. Several years ago, I was there. And just appreciation for our police officers that keep our communities safe. And what happened down there?
Well, you know what? Unfortunately, I was not able to attend either because I had an obligation to attend a wedding. But, you know, from what I've seen and from what I've gathered in conversations, you know, this group of Coloradans that were gathering as a family event, this was the sixth annual event that it was going to happen, and they had a permission. They had permits from the city and county of Denver to host it. Got ambushed. They got attacked. They got attacked by Antifa that is waving the false banner that it's Black Lives Matters. And, you know, they came in and achieved their goal to create chaos, to disrupt the rally itself, and to draw blood. And they did all of those things. This rally, because of their behavior, was dispersed probably within the first 45 minutes. And so they really weren't able to.
It was supposed to be 3 hours.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and so, and now as you find out that, you know, what happened with the stand down orders and what happened with the police officers and so forth, I mean, it is clear to me that our freedoms and our liberties, as we've been given through the Constitution of the United States, are being under attack, you know, or we're at war. I don't think anybody ever believed that our brothers and sisters would attack each other. You know, it's one thing to have a disagreement, but to physically come in, right? And they had batons. They had...
Saw the videos.
Yes.
People, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they were dressed for war.
They were.
And we are... We've reached a point where we are at war.
I wouldn't call them my brothers and my sisters.
Let me tell you this. I'm a man of God. I believe there are lost souls.
Oh, you got me on that one. Okay.
They are lost souls. Okay? And they're misdirected. Okay? So we must at least recognize, okay?
The humanity,
yes,
of each person.
And we just need to let them know that, hey, you know what? We just don't agree with what you're doing. We'd much rather talk to you. We'd much rather understand. But you don't need to be attacking us, you know, because we haven't done anything to you. And this was planned. This was not.
Oh, definitely.
This was not a knee-jerk reaction. Okay. And so when you look at the totality of these things, we are in a crossroads. Like we were talking earlier, mm-hmm. America's need to be choosing, you know, what is our future going to look like? You know, are we going to look like Portland where there's, you know, all kinds of riots and all kinds of burning things? I mean, look what they did to the Capitol building.
I know.
I mean, we have a institution that represents all of Colorado. And for the governor to allow the People's House to be vandalized and destroyed, you know, because I want to say his lack of courage, his fear of what is going out there, if he can't protect the People's House, how can we have faith and trust that he can protect what's in the best interest of Colorado? I mean, actions speak louder than words.
So if he doesn't protect the People's House, he doesn't protect the people's
That's
house.
That's correct. That's correct.
And people cannot go after their life, their liberty, and their pursuit of happiness,
right,
if their communities are not safe.
That's correct.
And so he has a responsibility to keep us safe, and also to keep the People's House safe. And you mentioned the Constitution. And, of course, this movement that has, you know, that it's we've got a lot of clarity now, Greg.
It does.
You know, I used to say, when people used to say, oh, be tolerant, coexist, I'm like, yeah, be tolerant, coexist. I mean, America's the great melting pot. We've been doing that very well for a long time. But now what I'm seeing, a lot of those that had talked about that aren't really tolerant and don't really coexist. No. They want it their way,
yes,
or we're going to take you down.
Exactly. And we are at a time, okay, where we have to let them know, you know, we choose to be civil and we choose to do it correctly. I am a veteran. And so just like I was willing to stand and defend our rights, that's probably the better word, right, mm-hmm, is that we're going to defend mm-hmm ourselves, our neighbors. We're going to defend our values and our beliefs. You know?
Excellent.
So make sure that people understand that in America, it's not that we must all agree, but we must all understand that we must live together as a people, right? And if we are, we all have the same values. I mean, I don't think anybody wants not to have happiness, you know, security, our children having a good education, you know, business mm-hmm thriving. I think we're all on the same banner with that. Sometimes we have different approaches mm-hmm on how we can achieve it. But I think that's what makes America great, is that we can debate, mm-hmm, we can compromise, mm-hmm, we can look into the future, and we can evaluate what is the best steps to take as we move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and right now, it seems like there's a part of our society that's drawn a line in the sand, that if we don't agree with them, if we don't champion, you know, their philosophy, they see us as the enemy. And that's not the way it should be.
So, Greg Lopez, there's really two competing philosophies. And when you say that we all want the same thing regarding the American idea, I think most people do. And that idea to be safe and to go live your life and to take care of your family. But there are those that socialism, and we talk about it all the time on the show, freedom versus force, force versus freedom.
Right.
There are some bad apples.
There are.
And there have been some very bad apples throughout history
Yes. That
have wanted power. And they've done this through socialism.
That's true.
And socialism and communism are very closely connected because socialism controls
Yes. The
means of production. Communism actually takes it over. There's not much difference.
That's true.
But it can occur through rules and regulations and excessive taxation. And so that's the real time for choosing that we're looking at. And interestingly enough, on this COVID-19 and then all of this this narrative on the Black Lives Matter, it's kind of taken the veil off
Yes. On
the two competing ideologies. And I think that, you know, before COVID-19, the economy was doing great. We were at record low unemployment. People, you know, they weren't really paying. I had so many people who would say, I don't pay any attention to politics.
Right.
But it's like, well, but politics they're into you.
Yes.
They now know that.
Yes.
So what, you know, tell us, what's your perspective on that?
Well, I totally agree with you, right? I mean, and I want to say this. The majority of Americans believe in our values as a constitution and as a republic, okay? Right now, what we're seeing is the minority out there, okay? But I'm telling you, it's time for the majority to stand up and have a voice to make sure that people understand that the majority of Americans do not embrace socialism, do not embrace what is happening right now, and we need to stand tall and make sure that that voice is heard loud and clear. I totally agree with you. It is a time for choosing. This November election, it's going to be the most, and I know a lot of people hear this all the time, but when you just look at what's happening in our country and what's happening here in Colorado, what's happening in Denver, it truly is an important election to bring some type of real statesmanship back into the halls of government, you know, and this is something that we all need to do on our research. And I tell people, look, Kim, regardless of where, you know, your party affiliation is, I think we all agree that, you know what, when there's good debate, when there's good conversation, right, you come up with good legislation.
Exactly.
Okay. And so right now, because the Democrats control both the House and the Senate.
And the governor's office.
And the governor's office, there really is no discussion, right? For all Coloradans that truly believe in our democracy.
Our constitutional republic.
Right. Yeah. We need to make sure that we give the Colorado Senate to the Republicans so that they can have good debate between the House and the Senate, so with the bills that get sent to the governor, we all feel are a true representation of what we believe is in the best interest of Colorado. Because right now, as I travel the state, I'm going to tell you, no one has trust in what's going on in Colorado right now because the legislature has been out of session. All these executive orders are coming with no true discussion, and it's evident. I mean, when the governor decided he was going to decide how the CARE funds were going to be spent.
Right.
Right?
$2.3 billion, wasn't it?
Exactly. You know, without any input from the Joint Budget Committee, right, where earlier in the month he was asked by Channel 9, how are you going to distribute these funds? And he said, I'm going to let the legislature do it because it's their job.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he changed directions.
He's very good. I think he has some good handlers.
Oh, he does.
Because I know people that say, I think he's really done a good job on handling this COVID-19 thing. Or in this case, that sounds reasonable to me.
Right.
But then he doesn't do it.
Right.
And in fact, we had found, I think it was reported in Westword, and it was a Wallet Hub piece that said out of the 51, so they included the Washington, D.C.,
right.
We were second most restrictive of all 51 states, right, and Washington, D.C. But yet somehow it's being spun that, you know, we're doing a pretty good job on this whole thing.
Yeah.
As far as freedom, it's not going very well.
No, it's not. And you remember, he went to the White House.
Oh, I remember that.
And told the president, we're open. You know? And I don't know what his definition of open is.
Yeah.
Right? But we clearly were not open.
Yeah, bars and restaurants weren't open.
You know, and right now, and I hope what I'm hearing out there and what people are feeling is not correct, but there's this conversations going on right now that the governor is going to shut down Colorado once again. Okay? I hope I'm wrong, but that's what I'm hearing. Because the numbers do not justify any of the actions. And here's what I want people to understand, Kim. And, you know, I look at this data, and as you know, every Monday I do a little video to try to educate people. But it's amazing to me that they like to focus on the number of cases,
mm-hmm,
right? But they won't give you the definition of a case.
It's so interesting that you would mention this, because I just did a recording for a podcast with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Right.
And as she said, nobody is talking about this, but there's a difference between a positive test result and a case. And that is so important to understand. And we're going to need to have that conversation if Governor Polis tries to shut this state down again.
Of course we are. Because, you know, I have a company that deals in the health industry, okay, with hospitals and so forth. I can tell you they're not overrun by mass demand. Mm-hmm. You know, you even look at the data. And I look at the data as to how many people are in the hospital, not how many so-called cases mm-hmm. are out there, because they're still tracking the very first person that tested positive. If you notice, the numbers of cases never go down. So I guess if you have a case, if you've had it and you're well, you don't have it anymore, or you're not contagious anymore, you're still a case.
And so, and I asked Jill about this. If you've had a case, if you've had the acute case, you're going to get another test. Does that count twice? And she said, probably.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a way to manipulate the narrative.
Right. And it really is. And you know what? I think when people do their own evaluation of the data and the numbers, mm-hmm. based on the population, based on what's going on, I think they're going to start realizing something's not right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not the way they're presenting it to us. Because if you think about it, the last press conference where he said, you know what, we're going to go back to mandatory masks or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at what the graph showed, and it's a projection of what they think might happen in September. Now, I tell people, you know what, if these projections are as good as they think they are, imagine how many millionaires it would be if we could follow the trends in the stock market
mm-hmm.
and they would actually come to fruition.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so I think it's much rather for us to take it slow, look at these types of things.
Measured.
Right.
Measured leadership.
And here's the deal. Denver has had masks, a requirement, for over a month. Their cases haven't gone down.
Well, the cases are not going to go down because as we do more testing,
yep.
we're going to have more positive
right.
results.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on right now.
Yeah, it's important to understand that. Let's go back to a couple of things. At the Capitol on Sunday, we look at what happened, this ambush on these peaceful, the peaceful rally to support our police. And then the fact that Governor Polis and Mayor Hancock basically done nothing to clean up the Capitol. And before we went on the podcast, we were talking about the word elected officials.
Right.
I'm not going to call them elected officials yes. anymore. They're elected representatives.
Right.
They're supposed to be our representatives. We the people, Greg
correct.
Lopez.
You know, and they need to remember that they are servants of the public, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've entrusted them to do the right thing. You know, and I am very disappointed that Governor or the Mayor Hancock, okay, have not said anything about how they feel about what happened on Sunday, right? They haven't stepped up and said, this is wrong. This is not something that we should allow in Colorado. This is not what Colorado stands for. This is not our values. They are silent. And you have to ask yourself,
why?
Why is that, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because if it was something else, they would definitely be vocal,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, yes, I mean, I don't understand where they have lost this connection that they are supposed to represent the people. you know, and I can tell you.
There's a lot of that going on in these blue cities and blue states, you know.
Exactly. And we have to remind them. And right now, I think the best way to remind them is at the ballot box. It's come November.
Right. That's where it needs to happen. Yep. And that's why we engage in this battle of ideas, to empower people to get their thinking caps on,
right,
so that they can understand these issues. So just a couple of things. We just started to think about this, but there's been reports that the number of homelessness is increasing in Colorado. Okay, keep that thought. And then somebody mentioned to me, there's some very high quality, as producer Steve called them, GQ tents down in our tent city now. So who's living in those? The governor said that he might move homelessness services into the Coliseum. And then we're having all this Antifa stuff happen. But the other thing, Greg, and I don't think we have the answer, but it's just,
right,
let's think about this. Why, when you see the pictures of the Capitol, it's been defaced and destroyed in many ways, but across the street, nothing's happened to the city and county building.
I know. Isn't that curious?
It's curious.
It really is. And if you stop and just think about that, right? It's like, well, wait a minute. What is the difference? Both buildings represent government. Both buildings have a similar objective, right? To provide and protect. There's elected representatives in both.
Uh-huh.
They make decisions that impact people. You know, they both have law enforcement. Why is it that one building is untouchable and then the other building, and they don't have 24-hour security around the city and county of building, but yet the Capitol is the one that's being vandalized. And so it makes you wonder, is there more that we don't know?
You know, on the show all the time, we quote Rudyard Kipling, who he was the author of The Jungle Book. He lived, through, I think, late 1800s, early 1900s. And he says, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. So it's like, who is making a decision not to do anything to the city and county building, but yet totally deface the Capitol? So kind of we're getting close to the end of our podcast here. First thing, if these elected representatives, the governor and the mayor, do not step forward to protect the Capitol. And I saw this on your press conference on Monday. You said, maybe we should move it.
Yep, we should. Look, you know what? Actions speak louder than words, right? They haven't done anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they cannot protect the people's house and make Colorado that shining city, right, that stands out, that let people know that we in Colorado have a beautiful way of life,
mm-hmm,
our economy is growing, you know what? Maybe we should move it, right? Move it to south or north, Weld County, Colorado Springs, Pueblo. You know, there was always a debate of where the original seat was going to be, you know? It doesn't mean it always has to be there. Specifically, if those individuals do not have the courage or the ability to protect it, then we need to let them know that, you know, if you can't do this, then you're not able to be responsible enough to just represent us as a community and as a people, because you can't even protect the building, which should be the easiest thing.
The easiest thing to do.
Yes.
Most definitely. So a couple of other things. We talked just a little bit about this, but you are doing Friday afternoon press conferences as
Monday afternoon.
That's right. Monday. Where can people see these?
You know, they can go to, we're putting them right now on my Facebook page. Okay. So Lopez for Governor 2022.
Okay.
You know? And then I'm sharing it with a lot of different people, a lot of different Facebook pages, but that's where every 4 o'clock, on Monday,
you
know, we do a live stream where people can actually, and I address what's happening the week prior.
Okay.
Okay. And so this coming week, I'll address why the governor decided to set a new last call, right? Why he's deciding something, why he's not taking action. And I'm glad to see, okay, here's the one thing I'm glad to see, Kim, because it means that things are, they're starting to listen, okay? The fact that I put it on my video on Monday, the fact that Kevin Lundberg put out photos, the fact that Jerry Sondenberg and other officials are saying, enough, you need to clean up the Capitol. This is wrong. You can't leave it like this. Well, lo and behold, just yesterday, they started to clean it up. And now here's what I'm hearing. which I haven't validated this, so maybe someone out there can validate it for me. I heard that the governor said, we're going to clean the sides of the Capitol, but we're not going to clean the front of the Capitol.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Because the front of the Capitol will still allow us to support some of the uneasiness that our community is going through. So I hope I'm wrong.
We'll find out.
Yeah, because he needs to clean it all.
We need to clean it all up. That's for sure. So how can people get more information about you, Greg Lopez?
You know, they can go to my campaign website. It's lopezforgovernor2022.com.
Okay.
You know, they can private message me on my Facebook page.
Okay.
You know, my goal is to make Colorado, Colorado again. You know, I don't want it to
be. Why we all came here. That rugged individual spirit,
That's right.
You know, all those things that built Colorado.
Right. And I'm gonna tell everybody out there that, you know what? It is time to make Governor Polis a one-term governor. He's proven to us. You know, I tell people, you want to test the character of a person, give him power. Well, we've given him power, and we know what the character is.
You know, and there was a great quote. Now, I can't remember who said it, but one of my World War II veterans had sent this to me, that power does not corrupt the man. It actually exposes the man.
Yes.
I thought that was really interesting.
And that is so accurate.
Yeah.
You know, because you can really see. Right? When someone has the authority, how do they handle that?
Exactly. Right. And you can look local level,
right?
City councils, mayor. It's really an unmasking, if you will.
Exactly. You know, and so I encourage everyone, look, it's a tough battle in front of us for 2022, but I am confident that we are going to make Governor Polis a one-term governor, and I will be the next governor of Colorado, and we're going to change these things around.
And again, if people want to help you, they can probably go to your website, right?
Yes, they can.
Lopez for Colorado.
Lopez for Governor.
Lopez for Governor.
2022.
Okay.
.com. And yes, if they want to do a financial contribution, or if they want to volunteer, or if they want to know more about me, you know, I am traveling the state. So, you know, I'm sure we'll cross paths.
So let's get that right again. It's Lopez for Governor 2022.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners, Greg Lopez.
You know, I want everybody to know that, look, we have a golden opportunity to reignite the American spirit and the American traditions back into this country. We are being challenged. You know, they're trying to take it away from us. This is not the first time, and it won't be the last time. So we need to make sure that we band together for what is right, and always remember that with God on our side, we will always be victorious. And this is what we need to do. Is be strong.
Well, Greg Lopez, thank you so much. So, my friends, thank you for listening. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And God bless you, and God bless America.